us, Lord, and amen. Let us all stand. Let us bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and appreciate you. Just so thankful, truly so thankful, Lord, for your love, your mercy, your grace you have for us, knowing we do not deserve it, Lord. But Father, I guess that's what makes grace so great, Lord, when we can see that what we were without you, where we could have been without you, Lord, where maybe we'd even be tonight if it wasn't for your mercy and grace. Lord, we appreciate that so very much for all you do. All the many prayers that you answer for us. All the many needs that you meet for us. And Lord, for the precious word of life that you give to us. For eternal life itself that you give to us. We just appreciate you so very much. We ask as we've gathered here tonight now, Lord, and again you promised where two or three are gathered in your name, in our midst you would be. So, Father, we know that you're here because you do not lie. You do not change, Lord, and by your grace we believe that you are. So we ask that you would just bless this service now, and may everything be done to your glory and for your honor. And, Lord, as we worship you for this portion of service, may we worship in spirit and in truth, Lord, and may these songs, Lord, come from the depths of our heart. And Lord, those that couldn't be here tonight, we ask the Father, wherever they sit, Lord, in their homes or wherever they may be, that Lord, they would enter right in with worship with us. And Lord, we'd all enter into the Spirit and get ready, Lord, for the Word of God to come forth. We ask for your will be done now as we yield ourselves to you in humility and love and appreciation. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, as David said in Psalms 96:2, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation from day to day. Amen. Before you sit down, let's sing a little chorus. I will praise him. Amen.
I will praise him. I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood has
all those stains and all that dirty filth away from our past life. You may be seated. Let's just sing a little chorus on page 4. I love him. Amen. I love to worship him. He's just so precious, so wonderful. Amen.
Gone from my heart, oh, and Even if I wouldn't fill with the Holy Ghost, my hand ought to be up telling him I love him. And by faith, believing. If I'm not filled with it, he'll fill me with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Loving him, giving my life to him, or as much as I possibly can until he does fill me with the Holy Ghost, you see? But what if we don't? What if we don't show that love to him? Remember, he looks down into our hearts. He knows what our desire is. Knows what we want, whether we want him, or whether he's just a nice pastime to talk about, to think about once in a while. But oh, if we really love him, and even if I need him in a deeper walk, I still should raise my hand and worship him. Amen. With a love. I love him. Should turn with me to page 93. Amen. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. Amen. The love of God is greater far than tongue. Yeah. Hallelujah. And to Adam's race, the saints and angels song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure.
Sing a little song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Amen. Just a little chorus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of strangely dim. His glory and grace. Hallelujah. Praise His wonderful name. Anybody have a special request? Lift your hands. Amen. Let us bow our heads. God knows all about it. He knows what you have need of. I've seen God answer prayers this week already. He's real. He's alive. Amen. He just, all you do, as the scripture says, we have not because we ask not. But ask, believing, by faith. Ask God to reveal it to you. Open your heart to it. Amen. And it's yours. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, as we come this evening and bring these special needs before you, and Father, every need is special to you. Lord, there's nothing that, as we present to you, Lord, that it's not important. But Father, you see our needs in our lives. And Father, you know what it means to us. And you know how important these things are. Father, sometimes maybe it's a sickness. Some of us here were seeking you for deliverance of disease, whatever it may be. But Father, if only by faith and something you can place down inside of our hearts, Father, we can stand on the Word of God and know that you're more than willing to meet that need in our life. Father, but we must ask ourselves, Lord, did we meet the requirement? Father, sometimes we forget the requirement it takes. As the prophet mentioned in perfect faith, sometimes, Lord, we get caught up in doing things wrong and keep on doing things wrong, and we don't overcome like we should. And then, Father, we begin to condemn ourselves. And, Father, there's no way we can ask you for things and know that you'll grant it if our heart condemns us. But Father, only if our heart condemns us not. We ask, Father, that you would, above everything before we ask anything tonight, that, Father, anyone here that isn't filled with the Holy Ghost or under the sound of my voice tonight to the way of prayer, I'm asking, Lord Jesus, for your mercy, you'd extend down to them individuals and fill them with the Holy Ghost. And Father, may that little germ seed come alive, oh God, and the life come back to you. And then, Lord, we ask for revelation. Oh God, may you give us revelation of the Word of God. That, Father, we would be that people you want us to be. And may we never, Lord, lose that cry to reach out in the Spirit, that passion to know your Word, that fervent desire to please you. Lord, may it only increase and be stirred in our hearts, knowing that we're in the last days, and Lord, the rapture is getting closer day by day. And Lord, there's a people that must have this rapture of faith. So Father, this is what we first ask for. Then Father, if there's any other needs, and Father, maybe there's a financial need. Maybe there's some kind of physical need. Lord, we ask that you would grant it their heart's desire. Lord, maybe there's needs we're not even mentioning, but you already know what it is. And Lord, we ask that you would do that for them. I know you love your people, Lord. And I know you want them to have, Lord, what you want them to have. And Father, you said if we desire whatsoever we desire, give us the desire of our heart, whatever we ask. And Father, we ask this now to your glory and honor, not to glorify any man, any person, but Lord, that we would glorify you as we see these needs met in our life, as we have seen things met in our lives this week, Lord. We appreciate you now. And Father, we ask that you prepare us for the receiving of the word. Bless our brother as he comes forth. Make it easy for May he fill our hearts pulling on the Word of God. And may we be hungry, Lord. I can't help but to think many times, Lord. Maybe that's why you let me experience that, Father. That day, Lord, when that beautiful spring day, and there is that little robin's nest built up on that ladder, Lord, hanging on a couple hooks on the side of the building underneath a lean-to. And I seen this little robin's nest there, and I looked down in this little nest, and here was those little baby robins, Lord. My, they didn't have hardly any feathers. They was just bald-looking, Father, and not very old. So tender, Lord, their lives was. Just such a tenderness there. And, Lord, I would just take that ladder
heads up and their mouths would be wide open. And oh, they'd be so hungry and just quivering and shaking in great expectation that Mama was bringing them something to eat. And Lord, may we be the same way with you tonight. May we, Lord, just feel the tapping of the Holy Spirit and our hearts be open, our ears be open, Lord. And Father, asking for revelation, asking for spiritual food to feed our hearts. We ask that you would do it for us, Lord. Bless us now, and may your sweet Holy Spirit have the preeminence and remain the service. We ask it to your glory and honor through thy Son's name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May God bless you. You may be seated. Does anybody have a special song?
Didn't have to hear me when I cried out to him. He could have turned his head and said, I will not hear. But instead, he reached his prayer. And by his grace, then he took away my fear. Oh, it was grace, grace, God's love and grace. It wasn't anything that I could have done.
Let us all stand and let's sing a little chorus, I Love Him, as we ask our gracious brother to come forward this evening. Amen. Just be praying for him. Make it easy for him. Amen. I love him because
Precious Lord, we are so thankful for this opportunity that you've given us this evening. Lord, how we appreciate you. And as we think of that little song alone, Lord, because you loved us first, Lord, and the price you paid for us that we could stand here tonight, Lord, recipients of these things. Even the words we'll share and reminisce new our minds to, Lord, it's all because of you and what you've done. We thank you, Lord, and we just ask your blessings upon your word. And Lord, you had a purpose for laying these things upon my heart, Lord, and we just pray that you will help me to deliver it, Lord, in a manner that's pleasing to you, that it would touch the heart, Lord, of someone. Yes. Lord, in a way that it would be helpful, strengthening, whatever the work might be. Lord, just we want your will to be done in all things, and we ask it in the lovely, most precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Don't you love him?
Yeah,
amen. I know there were some couldn't be here this evening, and maybe we seem to be a few short, but I'm thankful that I'm here. Amen. I'm just praying that God's precious word will be strengthening to you and be a, you know, it's when you go to a restaurant to eat a steak, you don't really care about them other people sitting there eating the same steak you are. You went there to get it for yourself.
Yes, amen.
You know, and as long as I get mine, oh, it's so good, and you're so glad you made the trip. Well, that's how it is with God's word, only greater. I'm here for my peace tonight, and by God's grace, he's got something for me. Amen. May the Lord just bless us tonight with his word. While you're standing, if you would, let's turn over to John, the 15th chapter. And there's a lot to this. I'm going to try to make it very short and try to piece it together, and then we'll try to keep it in 30 minutes. And maybe we make another service of it if we have to. But the Lord's will, it's just such simplicity. But if we'll just take God at his word and just let the word speak to our hearts, I pray it'll just strengthen us and maybe give us a little more boost for the journey. Amen.
Yes, amen.
But you got to make it personal. And you got to realize that these scriptures were written here. Jesus was speaking. He was here at a time and place.
Yes.
Tonight I'm here talking to you. And today may be my last day on this earth, and tomorrow I'm no more. And you may forget me, but you'll never forget the words that was written here.
Amen.
But these words were more real than the words that I'm even going to speak. Just in my natural body, this is spirit and it is life.
Amen.
And it'll never fail and it'll never pass away.
Yes.
Amen. And if we'll take it to heart and truly believe, oh, what a work it'll do in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. But in John 15, let's start here at the 15th verse. And listen to what Jesus is saying. Henceforth I call you not servants. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. May the Lord bless you. His word, you may be seated. And just, if you can think about it for just a moment, more of the, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And we realize in the age in which we're living, we're at the closing of time. And by God's grace, we have been blessed to be here in this day.
Yes, we have.
And we can look back through time, and kind of what led me to the thought of where I am was, I was thinking about how many of our members have passed away just since we've been in this little building. And that's happening all over the world in all the churches. All the people that started out traveling with the Lord many, many years ago have slowly passing on. Time is changing, time fades, and people live their lifespan and it's gone. And God had a purpose for that. And he chose each one of the predestinated that he saw in his mind before there was a moon or a star. Yes. He saw each one that would be here to live out their portion. Yes. And so now we can look at this Bible and we can go back to Genesis and start with Adam and Eve. And all that's been recorded down through time and see them live up through their space of time and fade off of the scene and God's plan just continuing to unfold. Yes. To get to where we are today and to realize the promises that has been made all the way back here are now coming to pass. Now, yes, it's been a long time in our man's time. It's been a long time as we look at the clock and here we are the first day of 2025 and thought we'd, you know, never dreamed we'd ever see this day. Never thought we would ever be this far into the year of the 2000s. You know, I just didn't think it would ever happen. But we're here. But God's clock is ticking perfectly on time. And by God's grace, each one of us, we've each got to see it for ourselves. We're part of that ticking, moving timepiece of God. And we're right in his time place. But he chose a people to live his life through. We had a prophet by God's grace in this last day that came and took the word and went back and God revealed and showed, laid out this plan in such a way that even though I'm not going to read everything that prophet said tonight or bring everything, the Holy Spirit in you will draw back to your attention things that I mentioned. It'll be fresh in your heart. And how it is we go into as a minister to go into study and you or praying and asking the Lord. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit, things you weren't even, can just bring things to you in a manner that you I don't remember that. I don't know where that, but God is great. And he said he would bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever he had said unto you. And oh, if you can just get in the same spirit of the composer. And you know, and how great it is to get lifted up and you know, just so many wonderful things. But we'll try to stay on track here. Amen. But as you would, after reading that, I just want to put a couple things in our hearts. And you can turn if you wish. If you can, I'm just going to read John 1 real quick. In John chapter 1 in the first three verses, just so it's fresh in our heart. We ought to know it by, it ought to be fresh. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and that life was the light of men. I just want you to bear this in mind. Now, in the church age book, in the Ephesian church age, Brother Branham made one little statement here as he was trying to answer a question. But I just wanted you to put the emphasis on it. He says, "Now I know in answering one question, another one is apt to come up, and people ask me, if Eve fell that way, what did Adam do? For God lays the blame on Adam." Now, he was trying to answer a question about Adam and Eve. But he said, that is simple. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. Before one speck of stardust was made, the Word, God's law, was there exactly as it is written in our Bible. What do you think about that? Yes. In God's mind, before this was ever printed, before any of this ever took place, to be written on these pages, it was that way in God's mind. Amen. Think about it. What a confidence and a consolation it ought to put in our hearts to see where we are living and what we're facing, and what a joy it ought to place in our hearts to see where we are. And you know, as we think about that, I'm going to go ahead and read this to put this with that, just making place how great God is. But in Revelations 1, if you want to turn there with me, you can read it. But Revelations 1, and we'll pick up here about the 9th verse. You know, Brother Branham was here in our day and brought us the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, Peter, we can go back down through and see all of the men that God used to put this Bible together and to bring his word to us, that we would have it today. And here is John on the Isle of Patmos, and just listen at how striking. No, just think, is he speaking to you personally? Just listen as he says this. "And I, John, who also am your brother," Revelations 1 and 9, and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven church ages which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about with paps, and with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and his voice was the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Oh, my, as we see the work that was done on Calvary, as we see all that was written down through the book of Acts, as the apostles recorded it and laid this out, this great plan, and John being aware of this. But then to stand there in this presence and to hear that declared, and oh my, then all the things that begin to be written after. But I want us to think about those promises and the voice of God as he spoke to others before. And I want you to think about this as we, I'm going to turn over to Hebrews if you would. And turn with me. And this, like I say, may seem a roundabout way of getting where we're going, but just follow along here. That's Hebrews, right. The 13th chapter, or the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Amen. But our God is so real. Yes, and is. His word is so powerful. Oh, and sometimes, do we take it as that? If with me and Brother D. Long, we know each other. And if I tell him I'm going to be at his house tomorrow morning, if I live at 9 o'clock, I'm going to be there. And he knows he can count on me. I'm going to be there at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Yes. Our God is so much greater than that. And how this word is, when he says something to us and it speaks to our heart, how it ought to be that strong. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use Abraham here in 11 and just read this as we think about this city that God called him out and said, come out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give to you this land. And it started a journey of types and shadows that led down through the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. But this is where, as Paul just kind of recapped it here in the 11th chapter and beginning at the 8th verse. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. But by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Yes. God had called him out and given him a glimpse of this city. Just as a prophet, he could look down through time. The things the prophet said, he didn't put it all out there, but he said Abraham saw a glimpse of that. He knew it was out there. He went looking for it. He was expecting to find it. Yes. And he sojourned looking for this promise that was there. And he says, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And he goes on, and Paul goes on to say, through faith Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And therefore sprang there even one unto him as good as dead, as many of the stars in the sky, and the multitude as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. But these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so Abraham set out on this journey, and you just think about how he went all down through and wound up into Egypt, all for the purpose of God might be declared. You think about all the types and the shadows. Our pastor was mentioning Joseph in the last service. Think about God declaring himself, everything that happened in that Old Testament, setting up for the day that Jesus Christ would show and appear on this earth. Yes. In a type and a shadow declare God's plan coming into view. And how Abraham was the first partaker of getting out and searching for this city. And then ever since the promised land was promised, and even down in Egypt, when God promised to lead him out and he'd give him a land and sent Moses down there with a stick in his hand. But just bear this in mind. This was in the message, trying to do God a service without it being God's will. And this was preached November 27, 1965. And he says, paragraph 226, he says, and he was talking about David, because David was trying to bring the ark back to Israel. He says, David was anointed to say that because aforehand he could see it, just as Abraham sought for a city on the earth. You know, he was looking for it because he was going to live here someday. Abraham is in that city. And when he went around looking for it, and right on the same grounds where he looked, it was just above him then. And it will return in the millennium, and he'll live in that city. But being a prophet, he was ordained and inspired, and he knew there was a city somewhere, and he was looking for it. But you see, the whole revelation of it was hid. The whole revelation of it was hid from him. It wasn't for his age. On down to John, where he saw it coming down from God out of heaven, that was the city. See, everything has to be in its season. You plant your wheat in the spring, and in the fall, or cut it next summer. And it's got to come up through the stalk and then come up through the tassel and the shuck and on into it. It's got to be in season. All nature runs in continuity. The Spirit of God made nature, and all of God in nature is in continuity. All things that's put into the temple was a pattern of what he saw in heaven.
Yes.
You see, a tree struggling, trying to live, that means there's a tree that don't die. You see a man struggling for life, it shows that there is a tabernacle waiting somewhere that don't die. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting. The good heavenly Father permitted me to walk behind the curtain one day and see it. How many heard? See, looking past the curtain of time. There it was, just the same as I am preaching to you all. There they stood, souls under the altar crying, how long? Not just a myth. Somebody who had intelligence. How long, Lord? See, while we feel that now as our age, and he mentioned Brother Bill Dow sitting here at 93, there's something longing for that young man again. There's something. You'd give anything, how I'd like to, Brother Jack and all the rest of us, go back. Brother Hebolzer in here and into that young manhood. What do we want to do it for? To be young and run around again? No, sir. Because we feel we'd have more time to glorify this God that we love. And my dear brethren, I have this message this morning. There is a land beyond the river that they call the sweet forever, and there will glorify him through the ages and all of the ages and eternity.
Hallelujah.
Why do we feel that? Because the deep is calling to the deep. And as long as that deep's calling, there's got to be a deep to respond to that call, or there wouldn't be no call.
Hallelujah.
And before there can be creation, there has to be a creator first to create the creation. And that shows the very evidence that it's there it is.
Amen.
And I want you to think about this as we, you know, as sometimes as you see the purpose for which we've been sent. I wasn't sent here to be just a natural born American citizen. I came into this world speaking lies, was born in this sin body, this body of flesh that God permitted it all to be that way. That through that, the great plan of God, that he might have the preeminence in a body of believers.
Hallelujah.
And that he might have fellowship, that he might be a Savior, a Redeemer. By God's grace, all these things. We're fixing to read some things that Jesus said in part. But we are standing at the end, and by God's grace, we can see the whole picture now.
Hallelujah.
You know, you think about an artist when they started to paint this picture. Maybe they just had the hair painted a little bit, and maybe the robe was started, and, oh, we'll put this little bit of a shoulder here. It's very... You knew it was going to be a beautiful picture, but you didn't know what it was going to be.
Yes.
And oh, as it went on, it became more clear. And we're standing here looking down through the windows of time by God's grace and being able to see the great plan of God unfold and to realize why we are here, why we live every day, why we serve God to his fullness. Think about the ones that served God all down through time. Think about the ones that gave their lives in the arenas our pastor was mentioning. Think about all these ones that have served God for this purpose and their place in their life. Mm-hmm. Gave their life willingly at the time and the place when it was called. Yeah. And how? Why? Because they weren't looking at this life. They were looking beyond. Yeah, yeah, they were looking for that city to come.
Yeah.
And as you think about this, as here in the natural, a lot of times, we get trapped with sometimes forgetting the purpose for which we've all been sent. Mm-hmm. And you know, the cycle of life goes on. And as much as we miss the ones that have left us here, their journey is completed. Mm-hmm. And they're waiting for their turn and their place, saying, how long now? Mm-hmm. Under that order, think about how they're looking. Brother Branham often references, they're looking over the banister saying, come on. It was a type. He was using it as an example. But how we can sometimes start to feel self-pity for ourselves because maybe our loved ones are not here anymore. They've went on. They finished their course. And oh, we definitely miss them. There ain't one of us in here that's ever lost a loved one that truly would say we don't miss them and wish they could be here. But the thing we got to see is they've run their course. And if we could ask them if they wanted to come back to make me happy, they'd love me. And they'd probably want to, but they're not going to leave the place they're in. A place of perfect peace and rest as they're waiting. Think about, as Brother Branham described, beyond the curtain of time. But how thankful we ought to be. And Brother Branham makes a statement we'll get to in a moment. But I want you to, how thankful we ought to be that they finished their journey. And maybe some got called home early. I think of Brother Bernard, you know, 50-some years old. His race was ended. Some get to go a whole lot longer. But each one finished their course with joy. And they lived their whole life giving their all to what they believed and what they felt God had called them to.
Yes.
And how each one of them were looking for that day, that rapture to come. Mm-hmm. And oh my, now they finished their course. And they've laid down and they're waiting. But that city's still coming. And oh my, that great day of the Lord is going to take place. That rapture's still going to come. And you know what? It's not going to prevent them that sleep because they're going to rise first. And oh my, how an excitement ought to be boiling up into our hearts to realize the day that we are fixing to see. And if I'm not ready for that day, how it ought to put a cry in my heart, Lord, it's coming. But if I truly believe all that God has spoken to us, how it ought to put such a consolation in my heart and in my life, as Paul was able to say, what is my life? If I live or if I die? I'm here serving God's purpose. And when my time is done, there's a time and a place. It'll be over and I'll be gone.
Yes.
But by God's grace, while I'm here, yes, someone else may have finished their journey and be taking a rest.
Yes.
But I'm still here, so God still has a purpose for me being here. Mm-hmm. And it don't matter our age. Think of Brother Dow. What a good example Brother Branham used. 93 years old.
Yes.
And how he traveled and was on fire for the Lord. How that ought to be the desire of our hearts. Lord, what can I do for you? I might be 20, I might be 30, I might be 40, I might be 100. But that desire, I was placed here. I didn't pick to do this myself. He chose me and he ordained me before the foundation of the world that I would be to his praise and to his glory, no matter what age I get to be. Once he saved me, oh my, what a place he put us in. It was grace. He didn't have to. Oh, think about the song the sisters sang.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now listen here. We're gonna go to the book of John and begin to read some things Jesus spoke. And as I said, you got to keep in mind that as he was saying these things, they were only seeing a part of the picture because that's all they had. We have been blessed now to look back and see the fullness of it.
Yes.
But I want you to take to heart what he is saying and realize the power that's in what he's saying to them. This is in John, the 6th chapter, and we'll just start about the 31st verse to catch the essence of what he said. And he says, this is John 6 and 31. Let me read it in the Bible. Make sure I printed these, but sometimes they don't print totally right, and I'm afraid it'll misquote something. So let me turn there as well. Amen. John 6 and 31. Speaking to the Pharisees here, he says, "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then they said unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. But all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will," amen, "but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day." Amen. I want you to think about the promise that's laying in this. And as Paul, as he was able to tie it in and to have a revelation of the things Jesus spoke, it was burning in his heart. That's why he didn't care. He didn't. What were they going to do to him? What could the Romans do to him? What could anyone do to him? He had this promise that he knew. Amen. It didn't matter. And he didn't have no fear in it. It wasn't there. Let's turn over to John 11th chapter. Amen. John 11. This just isn't anybody speaking. You just remember, this is our Lord Jesus Christ. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Amen. Glory to his name. John 11 and the 18th verse. And just think of a situation here. We'll just try to save a little time. John 11 and 18. "Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee. And Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. For he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Amen. Amen. Twofold, spiritual and natural there. Amen. "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Amen. What a question. It looks like he's talking to Martha or to Mary here. But what about you? Do you, believest thou this? Is what he's saying? Is it anchored in your heart that is absolutely? He is the resurrection and the life. He is. Oh, is it anchored there to that point? Oh my, if we could just truly let these things gel into our hearts with a reality and let God's word be more alive to us. You know, that's enough. Amen. Let's see here. Amen. So let's go over here now. Now let's go to John 14. We read these in these orders. So go, and we're getting there. We'll try not to be too much longer. I can't even see the clock. Amen. 8:30. Give me just a few minutes. I think maybe we'll make it. Amen. Let's see. In John 14, and start at the first verse. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way you know. Amen. Yes. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? But Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. And if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Amen. Yes. Think of the time Jesus is speaking. They weren't fully comprehending what he was saying. But by God's grace, we sit here tonight, and that ought to burn within our hearts. Amen. Just as he talked on the road to Emmaus, as he walked with those disciples and was breaking forth all of the things that had been spoken forth from them prophets. Yes. And telling them, and all, did not our hearts burn within us as we talked with him along the way. How that scripture ought to just resonate in our hearts and in our lives to realize that henceforth ye know him. Yes. And you have seen him. Because this is the day that you would know that I am in the Father. The Father's in me, and I in you. Oh, today is that day. Yes, and oh, what a joy it ought to place in our hearts as we see this taking place. Amen. I don't know. There's an awful lot to go. Hallelujah. I think we might stop there, and at some point we'll pick it back up. Yes, amen. But just take these scriptures, if nothing else. And dwell on it. Think about it. Let it be personally to you. Mm-hmm. This city is still there, and someone's still looking for it. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. But God's word went forth. And you can go back and see Abraham. All he had was the Lord spoke to him and said, come out. I'm going to show you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take you. Think about even the children of Israel down in the land of Egypt, slaves, and Moses walks in with a stick and a robe on and says, God said, we're going to leave here. He's give us a land of promise. Amen. All they had was the word of Moses holding a stick in his hand. They didn't have nothing. They couldn't see that promised land out there. They couldn't see anything. But upon that word, who tell him who sent you? I am that I am has sent me to you. Amen. With that authority in him, it was enough that they knew they were going to follow. Yes. And oh my, God started them out on a journey. Amen. And look where they wound up. And today we're still here to complete a journey that started way back there. And by God's grace, we're getting mighty close to the end.
Yes, we are.
But all we've got to allow it to get a hold of in our hearts and a reality. And realize that we're not of this world. We are truly pilgrims and strangers journeying through. Life's going to throw all kinds of curves and things are going to happen. Trials have to come. God has to prove that he's got a people. He's got to prove that he is God.
Amen.
When Joseph got sold into slavery and got threw down into that pit, it looked. Can you imagine how he felt? Himself realizing what had happened and where he was. But God had a plan to prove that this is my way. Amen. That today we can look back and see it perfectly type in Christ.
Yes.
Perfectly see these shadows laid out here before us. And now here we stand tonight, a people, by God's grace, that he shed his light on our hearts and has given us revelation. Why? That in this stage of Laodicea, darkness, chaos, people don't know where to stand. There will be a bride stand firmly upon his word.
Amen.
And it's not a relationship to a church. It's not a relationship to a building of people. Amen. But it's a relationship with Jesus Christ to the individual.
Amen.
And that individual, wherever they are, will stand upon God's word. And it'll be vindicated through their life.
Yes,
oh my. And he's called them from all ends of the earth. He's called them from all types and walks of life.
Yes.
But God will prove he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all my. And not only that, he is my God today. He is all that he is to me. Amen. But maybe Lord's will, we'll get a little farther some other time if he wills. If not, there must have been enough said tonight to help someone. Amen. If we would just truly give God the opportunity. And just sometimes you can get too dependent upon, I'm going to go to church and learn. And God's been gracious to give us wonderful teachers in this message. And sometimes you can teach something to a point that you can piece it together like a puzzle and say, I see that. Or you can convince somebody that your point of view is the right way. But It'll never hold. But when God dips it into your heart by revelation,
amen,
and the understanding comes, amen, and then when the Holy Ghost is there doing the teaching, and you begin to feel that, it'll hold no matter what comes, what goes. You won't have to ask somebody their opinion. How is there used to be an old song about how would you have to ask somebody when you got the Holy Ghost. They said, you don't have to ask nobody. You'll feel it in your soul. And that is truly how it is with God's word. It anchors. It truly is the ultimate. And there's just something about it. Once it anchors, peace of mind is there. He is our peace. He is our comfort. He is our joy. Oh my, does that mean we won't have times of sorrow? Oh no. Even Jesus, knowing what he was capable, maybe what the Lord was going to do in through the life there at the time of Lazarus, being in that grave, but as a man sat there and wept for this friend that he had lost. Oh my, God is so great. But oh, if we could but lift him up and truly realize he's got me in the palm of his hand. His whole plan, he said, no one's going to come to me unless I draw them. And no wise will I cast them out. And my Father will raise them up on the last day.
Yes.
Oh my, may God add the strength to his word. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Amen. Lord. Let's sing that little chorus, My God is Real.
Yes,
I pray you is able to take something from the scripture.
Amen.
Maybe we'll get to finish and maybe it'll blend together, but it just takes too much time sometimes. And it's a little Thursday evening, so we'll hold off. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. My God is real, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Amen. Do you feel it? My God is real. He's real in my soul. Amen.
My God is real. He has pushed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold.
Sunday morning, Brother Timothy. I don't know. See how it goes. See what the Lord wants. Amen. But I enjoyed that really well. How about you?
I have no idea. I tell you, there's just a lot of good food there.
And when you can see by God's grace that identification, being a part of that, oh my. Again, what is those mysteries calling your name? Amen. So glorious. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, it's just been so good and so refreshing to be here this evening, and we appreciate it so very much. Lord, we just trust that each one that was gathered around, Lord, maybe in their homes and things, Lord, they felt the refreshing of the Holy Spirit also in their little room as they listened to it, Father. We're just so thankful by your grace and mercy again, Lord, that we have the word of the hour, and we just want that word of the hour to live and express itself through us, Lord. Just the sweetness of your Holy Spirit live and, Lord, express in every action, express every attitude, express every thought through these temples. Lord, just take us clear over that you'd have a complete preeminence of our lives. So as we part from this place now, we just trust that you'll just go with us. And Lord, may we keep you always before us. Lord, by the praying and meditating and reading the word and just thinking about, Lord, all that you've done for us, may we keep you always before us. Pray thy will be done in our lives now. Just watch over us, keep us safe as we make our travels, Lord, where we must go. And Lord, may your will be done in our lives. We love you with all our heart now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. It's been good to be here. Refreshing. Amen. By God's grace, it's refreshing. You see, if it wasn't for God's grace, it wouldn't mean nothing to me. But it's God's grace that means something to me, and it's precious to me. We love you. May God bless you. Be careful. Amen. You're dismissed.